today on Real Radio.
And you might say, well, because they're born into it doesn't mean that they're, you know, automatically holy. Listen, automatically holy in this sense, that they're set aside, they're ordained for God's work. But personal holiness, practical, living it, they were not.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel are both well known as historical narrative, and they truly are fascinating accounts of the lives of those people who contributed to Israel's history and her development. Now, that includes the first 11 verses of the opening chapter, which tell of the circumstances of how Samuel came into this world. These opening verses of chapter 1 are what Pastor Jack will focus on for this lesson. Here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, with a lesson called It's Time to Trust God Because.
Acts 13:19 tells us that after he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel came, Samuel the prophet, and afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul. So Samuel's in that very unique place of the judges, or the period of the judges coming to a conclusion, and the prophet being, so to speak, born to establish the kingdom through kingship. And it's amazing that through Samuel, he ordains two kings, Saul and David. The principal theme of the book is threefold. You might want to jot this down. It's very applicable to our lives today. Number one, the calling of God upon the life of a believer. Samuel's life, the calling of God upon the life of the believer. And number two, the effects of sin and righteousness upon God's people. The effect of sin and righteousness upon God's people. And the third principal theme of the book is the damages of a corrupt priesthood. The damages of a corrupt priesthood. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 says, this man, Eli, or we say Eli, it's Eli in Hebrew, Eli's fine, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Now these two guys, these two boys, his sons, were not good guys. They were bad boys. And God will deal with them, and you'll see it. But Hophni and Phinehas, God had ordained these men to the ministry, but they had prostituted the ministry of God, the work of God. They had prostituted it. They had given the ministry a black eye. They didn't live exceptional before the people. They did horrible things. You'll hear all about it. That's one thing about 1 and 2 Samuel. The laundry is put out to dry, but it's washed first in front of the world. Corrupt leaders. There's nothing worse in ministry than corrupt leaders. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, and Phinehas' wife was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of the Covenant was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were now dead, she bowed herself and travailed. For her pains came upon her. She's pregnant. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said to her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered nothing, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. So Phinehas' wife, at hearing of his death, because he was a corrupt man, God judged him. The woman, the wife, goes into labor, gives birth to a son. She dies in the delivery, but before she dies, she names the child Ichabod. God, or the glory of God, has departed. All because these two boys under Eli grew up and disgraced the priesthood, the ministry that God has called people to. It's tragic. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, the Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the gospel, this word of God given to us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our body. That the excellency may and power may be of God and not of us. Isn't it wild and radical that God would call Samuel to do his ministry and people like David and people like Saul and people like you fill in the blank, people like you, people like me, God would call us. Earthen vessels made out of dirt. We're made out of the same, 13, 14 elements that the earth is made out of? God creates us, but he has ordained us to be ministers of the gospel, each and every one of us. And we have this incredible, eternal good news in these earthen vessels. And therein lies the problem. Why would God use us to minister the gospel to other people? Why not perfect people? Answer, anybody know? Yeah, there are no perfect people. Why doesn't he use angels? Because angels aren't people. It would be no effect if an angel came down and said, hi, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. How can we relate to an angel? We can't. But if somebody says, you know what, I used to be just like you are now, and you don't have to stay in that position. You don't have to live like that. I can tell you from personal experience that in the midst of what you're going through, I did the same thing and called out and said, Jesus, forgive me and change my life. And all of a sudden, there's a connection. And we can minister to people. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But it's the earthen vessel that has been designed by God to bring God glory. It's like Gideon's pots. Remember that story? When Gideon and his boys got together, they took the torches of fire and they put them in the clay pots and they snuck up on the enemy and they took stones and they whacked those pots in the middle of the night and the pots broke open to reveal the flame, the torch that was burning on the inside. And when the enemy saw that torch burning, they began to scream and cry and they said, the sword of the Lord is upon us and Gideon. And they fled. The treasure, so to speak, the light, the glory was in the earthen vessel. But until the earthen vessel was broken, there was no glory or light emanating out. Every one of us as believers must have in our lives a death experience, not a near-death experience. Well, you know, I saw a bright light when I was on the operating table. My friends later told me that the line was flat and people began to weep and everything, and the doctors came in and they began to shock me with the things you see on TV. And I came back. But before I did, I saw this light and it was getting brighter and brighter and it was getting warmer and warmer and it was just a beautiful thing and I could see the glow. And then I came around and you hear people talk like this and they say, and now I'm not afraid to die. And you ask them about God and they go, oh, I don't really care because I've already been there. I'm not afraid to die. What cracks me up, somebody please finish the story. I saw a bright light. I was traveling toward it. It was getting warmer. It's called hell. I don't get. And now it's cool. I'm back to tell everybody there's nothing to fear after death. Well, what about Jesus? Oh, I've already been there. It's cool. You don't have to worry about it. Finish the story. I mean, it's amazing to me. I'm not talking about near-death experience. A believer in Jesus Christ must come to that place of a death experience. Galatians 2:20 tells us that Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, no one's ever gotten away from a crucifixion. No one's ever escaped. There he goes. No, you don't run from a cross. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's no longer I who lives. He says, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith and the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, no near-death experience. That's kind of like being kind of born again, like you're kind of pregnant. How you doing? Are you pregnant or not? Well, we're kind of pregnant. Look, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Well, I'm kind of born again. I mean, I'm kind of getting into the church thing. Kind of easing on into it. Listen, you're either born again or you're not born again. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either dead or alive. And for us to be walking with Christ Jesus, we have to come in what is supposed to be life, which is death, living in this world. We come to him and we yield ourselves to him and we die with Christ the moment we come to the cross. We die. And then he begins to live through us. The cool thing is, you'll never experience true life until you first die. Say, man, you got me all whacked out on this. I don't get it. You laugh because you do get it. But there are people perhaps listening that don't get it because they don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, give it away. Give it up. He says, if you want to become something, become nothing. His is the inverted kingdom. The book of Samuel, the servant of God. The glory departs when ministers begin to see themselves as something more than an earthen vessel. And Samuel, God is going to use powerfully to speak to his leaders. When the glory departs, is when men begin to lay hold of God's glory for themselves. So let's look at this together. We'll look at verses 1 through 11. The title of the message is that it's time to trust God because there are difficulties in life. Verses 1 through 11, difficulties are ordained by God. Say, okay, now I know why I've come. Yeah, difficulties are ordained by God. Cheer up. If you're not having any problems, God will see to it you have some. He's ordained some specifically for you so that his glory might shine through you. But be of good cheer. It's time to trust in God. Verses 1 through 4. Let's read that together or follow it along with me. Now there was a certain man. You ought to mark that in your Bible. A certain man of Ramathim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, the Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Phinehas or Phinehas. I've heard it all kinds of different ways here. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. This man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni. Now, listen, as Hophni and his sons, as these two boys grew up, they grew up in the ministry. As the priests, it says, of the Lord were there, verse 4, and whenever time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to his wife and to all her sons and daughters. Now, this is a very, very interesting thing, and we need to listen to this carefully and jot this down if you would. Verses 1 through 4 speak about the situations that we have in life can be difficult. And you might say, well, tell me something new. But mark this down. Situations have their difficulties in our lives. They have to. Consider what's going on here. Elkanah, this man, first of all, he's of the priestly line. He has his boys in the ministry. They were born into it. They're of the lineage. And you might say, well, because they're born into it, doesn't mean that they're, you know, automatically holy? Listen, automatically holy in this sense, that they're set aside, they're ordained for God's work. But personal holiness, practical, living it, they were not. That's the boys. But Elkanah, He's a man that is dedicated to God. He goes to worship. The scripture says he goes from year to year to worship the Lord. But there are difficulties, situations of difficulties of life. And this story begins with a hardship right from the get-go. You might want to take into consideration and remember that James chapter 1 tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy." No, nobody wants to hear this verse, but James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, it is amazing, until we begin to see God in the situation, the difficulty of our life, we can never count it joy. Now, what does this really mean? If you're a believer tonight and you have difficulties in life, know first of all that they're ordained by God. He knows all about them. And you can wrestle with yourself and say, "Yeah, but I brought them upon myself." He still knows about them. And he's using them in your life. And he's going to use them for good. James says, "Count it all joy." Now that word means to reckon. It means to determine. It means to figure it out and come to the conclusion. Did you hear, and can you hear the logic to this? There's no emotion in what James is saying. I wish we could see him say this to us, huh? I always picture James kind of bow-legged with kind of a country accent, hard-nosed kind of farm guy. Tough. You know, count it all joy. He didn't suggest that. He just said, "Now listen. You got problems? Count it all joy. Do it. Take what's bugging you, take what the problem is, and determine this is the will of God, and because that's true, I am going to choose to walk in the joy of the Lord." It has nothing, and I'm so grateful, it has nothing to do with happiness. Joy affects our happenstance. Happenstance determines if we're happy or unhappy. If you are joyful, seeing God in your situation, then you will be happy in heart. That doesn't mean that when your house burns down or, you know, evil tidings come or you perceived evil tidings, you go, "Oh boy, look, my house is burning. Hallelujah." Have you ever seen people like that? It's like, no wonder why the world thinks we're nuts. They're going, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." And they're trying to talk themselves into some sort of a happy state. "Praise the Lord. But your house just burned. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." "Well, you sound kind of sick." I'm not sick. I'm praising the Lord. You know what? I don't get that. You know what? The joy of God in the midst of a difficulty and trial is when you say, "You know, my house just burned down. Or I'm sicker than a dog. I know God's in it. He knows I'm sick. Or he knows my house just burned down. I'm his. Seems to me the Lord's got a burned down house. Seems to me the Lord's got a sick servant here and I can't do much while I'm sick. So Lord, your will be done. You bought me, you own me." And rest in that. The situations of life, they're difficult. Elkanah has a wife, he has two, obviously. And that wasn't God's will, but it's there in Scripture, recording the story. One is cranking out kids. I mean, she is just a baby factory. We don't know how many kids she has put out, but Hannah has none. And you might want to jot this down. It's interesting. It is believed by the Jewish scholars that Elkanah married Hannah first, and she never bore a child. So Peniah, he took as a second wife to bear children. Does that sound familiar in Scripture? And as we go through this chapter, there's nothing but problems between the two women. Of course. Have you ever had two women in the same kitchen? It's a disaster. Can you imagine having two wives in the same house. The scripture says that we should dwell with our wives according to understanding. Is that possible? Can you imagine having two wives? Elkanah's got two wives. Now, some scholars say, they say it's so impossible for two women to live under the same roof. They believe that Elkanah had two homes and two addresses to keep them separated, and it was only at feast time that they saw one another, as we'll see in our following studies. Don't know. We'll never know. But Hannah was barren, which leads us to the second consideration here. It's time to trust in God because of this. Verses 5 through 8, relationships have their difficulties. Do you know that? Oh, but listen to this situation. How can God be in this? But he is. But Hannah, the scripture says, verse 5, he would give a double portion. Elkanah would give a double portion, or he would allow to her more of the meat, offering very precious, but he would give her a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb. Can you mark that in the Bible? The Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Says it again. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Peniah would be provoking Hannah. Therefore she wept, Hannah's weeping, and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Well, that's a very sweet thing to say, I think. He loved her. Look at this. Hannah, why are you crying? It's the feast. I mean, we go up. It's the great celebration, and the scholars debate about which one it is. Was it the celebration of ingathering or tabernacles? They don't know. They're not sure. Tabernacles is assumed because of the joyous celebration that's implied here. Great feasting, great rejoicing. Everyone's having a wonderful time, but Peniah is badgering and eating verbally upon Hannah.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, It's Time to Trust God Because. In fact, it's the opening lesson in this fascinating Old Testament account, which lays out the life of this prophet and judge over Israel. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just last week, Pastor Jack finished up his well-received collection of topical lessons called Why Should I? The series of studies answers some key questions like, why should I fellowship? Why should I tithe? Why should I fast? Why should I evangelize? Why should I find a Christian mate? And that's just to name a few. Well, we've been offering these lessons all on one MP3 CD, and it seems like the requests keep coming in fast and furious, so we're going to extend that offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series called Why Should I? All on one MP3 CD, real simple, easy to use. That's Pastor Jack's entire series you've been hearing right here on Real Radio. The Why Should I series on MP3 CD normally goes for $40. But right now, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Call, click, or write, whichever works best for you. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Special Offer. realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, the Why Should I series on MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.